Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host today, Michelle Berquist, host of Women Who Lead Radio, and with me is our very special leading lady who is not only part of an award-winning company on many facets, but is also somebody that I admire and who was one of our finalists for our Women Breaking Barriers Award. And I am happy to introduce to all of our listeners the lovely and phenomenal Danielle Moore, who is one of the partners at Fisher Phillips. They are a labor lawyer and a labor employment attorney. And Danielle, I want you to say give a big welcome to all of our listeners today, and we're excited to have you on the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you, Michelle, for that extremely nice introduction.
I get a little excited because I'm like, I love to say award-winning, so woohoo! You guys deserve the award that you got, and you, I want to kind of unpack because, you know, for Connected Women of Influence, we're all about our passion of seeing women advance, not only in business and in their profession, but also within, you know, the workforce. And I know over at Fisher Phillips, your firm has a really incredible program that's an internal initiative called Women's Initiative and Leadership Council, or WILC, correct, that you were
correct.
One of the founders to. And I would love for you to share what is WILC and how did the whole initiative kind of come about that has been so successful within Fisher Phillips for women.
Sure. Well, WILC is something I am passionate about. Several years ago, I was sitting on the board of an organization that is it's primarily attorneys, and the mission of the organization is to advance women in law and society. And at the table with me were several successful women, and they often talked about their own women's initiatives. And our firm had informally had some programs here and there, but nothing formal. They didn't have a formal initiative, a formal program. And I thought, gosh, you know, we really need one, both internally and externally for our female attorneys inside and clients outside. And so I started to do some research and prepare a proposal. And then I had some wonderful people around the country in our different committees, an associate evaluation committee and development committee, and all some kind of key people who were really wonderful and came on to support the proposal and the effort. And together we made a pitch to the firm, and it was approved, and we got the green light. And they appointed me and my co-chair, Christine Howard, as chairs of WILC, which did not yet exist, but would be WILC. And we started to craft what it would look like and what our mission would be and what our priorities would be. And that's kind of how we got started.
And I love the story of it because, you know, again, probably we don't have enough time to be able to kind of throw these statistics out, but, you know, women at the top rung, right, of law firms and managing partners and, you know, on the leadership teams within law firms is still at a pretty narrow or small statistic, if I understand how law firms work, that women are still trying to get to those upper echelons. Do you find that? And that was that kind of one of the reasons that WILC came about, was to see more women get into those partner positions and, you know, be in those leadership roles? Was that one of the main things?
It is. Generally, you have about, for over a decade, you have 50% of the candidates coming in out of law school are women. And yet you
wow.
have about 30, yeah, and you have about 30% partners. Despite that, still to this day, after you know, decades of 50% women coming in, you have about 30% partners and even less, 15 to 20% equity partners. in the law firm ranks. And so that was our key focus was first recruitment of talented lateral attorneys, and then retention, because the statistics show that you tend to lose a lot of female attorneys in those years 5 to 10, some think because of child rearing, but for whatever reason, you tend to lose your women. And so those were part of our focus. And then leadership and trying to internally advance the women that we do have and push them up through the ranks to into leadership roles.
And so, you know, I'm really curious because this is where I told you earlier when we were, you know, kind of like talking before the show, I said, I'm like Curious George, you know, so I'm really, I wonder if you can share with our listeners, what was it like when you first kind of envisioned Wilk and you took it, you know, to the partners that were existing and said, we want to start a women's initiative? I mean, what was it a positive response? Was it kind of like, oh, are you kidding me? Or what was kind of the response? And it just kind of curious, you know, did you deal with any sort of challenges in getting it accepted within the firm to even start? Or was it a total, yeah, this sounds great, Danielle, let's do this? I'm kind of curious what the response was.
Sure. Well, at the time, I was a first-year partner, so I was very nervous about it. I was really kind of putting myself out there. I had no clout, you know. I was not an important person. So it was a little nerve-wracking.
You do now, though.
Well, hopefully. Well, at least someday. We'll see. But yeah, okay. I tried to be strategic to collect people who were kind of had key roles around the firm to give that support. And when we finally did present what we thought we needed to our highest level of management, there was no pushback in terms of we need to support gender diversity at all. The concern was, why is this different than our diversity committee? Because Fisher Phillips for a long time has had a diversity committee and done their own informal efforts specific to gender through the diversity committee. And so the question was not, do we need to support and advance our women? The question was, why do we need a separate program or a program unique to women? That was more the question that we had to be prepared to address.
And when you put your brief, right, because that's what you do, is you put briefs together, is when you kind of put this whole package together and they asked you that question, I mean, what's the answer? How is this need for this initiative different than the whole diversity committee? I mean, what did you identify, Fisher Phillips, or said this is a need for women?
Well, we first kind of laid out the statistics so that it was clear that there was a need. And not just the statistics in terms of women advancing, but also the statistics in terms of business. Because at the end of the day, all law firms are businesses. And so, and there's great statistics out there about how more and more in-house counsel and GCs, general counsel of companies, are women who want to work with other women. So there is a business need there as well. So we kind of laid that out first. And then in terms of why a women's initiative, we expressed what we wanted to do with the program, which is very different than what diversity does. For example, one of the things that we have established is a leave liaison program. So when a female attorney is going out to have her first child, for example, you have a mentor, a person who can help you and figuring out how to do that and how to transition back and navigate through all those issues that come with being a first-time parent and juggling that with a law career. And that's something that is unique to gender. And so it's
very
not
much
necessarily covered by a diversity committee.
And I love this with women because, you know, honestly, it's like, you know, one of the things that floats my boat within our association, Danielle, is that, you know, we like to pay attention and kind of know what the best practices are, what people are doing with some of these women's initiatives. And I'm finding it fascinating. So many companies are actually doing that. You know, it's more than just diversity. They're going to the gender and then the LGBT kind of focus of, you know, diversity. And with the women, I've never heard of a company that had this kind of leave liaison program. So I'm curious, you know, what were some of the results that you saw come out of that? I mean, were women welcoming to that? Because I've known women who are attorneys that they wait to even have children until they make partner, you know, and then they start dealing with that's how they do their family planning, because they just know after they have kids, it's
right,
a whole different ballgame. What was the reaction on this one, and how do you think, you know, some of the women benefited from this? Was it you know, just kind of a welt of relief going, oh, gosh, I'm so glad, or what was some of the results you saw?
Said where you are in your career, but we kind of attacked it. We identified it early on as this being a key priority, because that is kind of the critical time period often when you lose women. Either they don't come back, or they come back and they find it too difficult to navigate both, or they don't know how, or they don't feel supported. And so you tend to lose women. So that was a key focus for us. And we did a couple things, and we did the leave liaison program. But one other thing that we're also, and this is a brand new, that we're rolling out now, is what happens a lot of times when somebody goes on leave to have their child is there's this period where partners know that you're leaving, so they stop giving you work because you're going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And then when you come back, they have forgotten that you're there, and so you have a hard time getting work when you come back. So there's this kind of ramp down and ramp up period, which is particularly difficult for a female associate, because then you can't meet your hours, which is a key part of your performance. So we've rolled out this transition program too, to kind of coincide with the leave liaison program, where you only have to meet half your hours for those weeks going on to leave and weeks coming off of leave, to kind of give you a transition period to ramp up and ramp down. So things like that. We try to be really thoughtful and figuring out how to help attorneys transition so that we don't lose them. And I think that it's still some of it. The Leave Liaison program has been going for about a year now, and we've gotten some really great feedback, and we've also got some suggestions on how we can improve it and how we can strengthen it. But I think that and this transition program hopefully will really help.
Very cool. And, you know, I know you guys do some other things. You bring, you know, you partner with other organizations or other industries, other, you know, law practices, if I can put it that way, specialties. What are some of the other things that you guys have done within WILT? Because I know you've been really instrumental even in the community to partner and do things with other organizations. Can you share what some of those are in addition to the internal kind of piece of it?
Sure. So internally, some of those things we've done, we established an ambassador program. So every office has a WILC ambassador whose purpose is to be there as a resource if female attorneys or any attorneys have concerns, and to kind of push out information as well. We've established this resource network, and this is kind of – it's kind of interesting. We got the idea from the big tech companies of the world like Google – Facebook, they're doing these concierge programs to help work-life balance, where you can call a concierge and they can get you somebody to pick up your dry cleaning or find you emergency child care or what have you. And we obviously don't have the funding that a Google has. So
really?
So what we,
you sure?
But we thought, wow,
teasing.
What a great idea.
Yes.
So we built this resource network where we locally and nationally pulled together kind of a list of resources where you can call for emergency child care, or you can call for, food preparation like Blue Apron and those types of things. And now we're trying to broker deals with those companies so that Fisher Phillips attorneys can get some kind of advantage or discount if they need to use those kind of services to kind of help their work-life balance as they try to juggle it all. So things like that we've done.
I love that. I love that. I didn't know this piece of it. I just knew the education part of it, not the this whole kind of like, you know, concierge services. That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, but I think it will be really fantastic when we're done with it. And then kind of one of the other things that we've done is, one of what some of the research shows is why the reason you lose women and they have trouble advancing is because business development. Women develop business differently than men do oftentimes, and it's not your classic, build business on the golf course type of ability. And so we built right. this, we call it the WILC Forum, which it's these calls and where women can collaborate and communicate about alternative forms of business development. Like we have one office in Atlanta who's doing a Bollywood event where there's an instructor and there's Indian food and everyone's getting some bangles, and we've one that's done a ladies' night and one that's done a spa day, and just one that had an event at a zoo where clients could bring their kids. So just looking at alternative ways of women that women can develop business so they can advance within the firm. Yeah.
And what has been the reaction within the firm then of some of the male partners and associates and, you know, the other gender, if you will, knowing that this is going on? I mean, do you find that it's been hugely supportive? Have there been some bumps in the road, you know, in implementing and kind of building this program? Or has it been, you know, sunshiny days? And I know we want to be politically correct, but kind of curious what, you know, you've experienced as one of the founders to this program, what maybe are things you could share with our listeners of areas that might be little road bumps, so to speak, in implementing
sure.
a program like this?
Well, we, you know, we're an old firm that is based in the South, and so there were there has never been anybody who didn't like the idea or didn't support Wilk. It was more for some of our conservative, old school, we'll say, folks, they just didn't understand that there was a need. And so some of that, we had some implicit bias training at our partner retreat 2 years ago, and that helped. And more than anything, clients are demanding it. Clients are excited to see that we have Wilk, and they are demanding that female attorneys be placed on their pitch teams and do their work.
Oh, wow.
And when a client calls and demands that you have a Wilk program or that you have women doing the work, that will quickly change your attitude.
It'll get attention, won't it?
Yeah.
It'll get attention where people are asking for the female, you know, partners. And I think that's pretty cool. I mean, one thing I know that you guys do a lot on is the mentorship, right? Mentoring, you know, not just for some of these services and for the, you know, leave situation, but what else do you do from a sponsorship and a mentorship? Because I know there's a difference to you, and I think there's a huge difference. I kind of like to say mentorship versus advocate, but how do you guys mentor, you know, some women? Do they get partnered up, you know, women with another partner, or is it that formal? Or tell some of our listeners what you guys do with that.
Yeah, we've had a mentorship program for a long, long time. So it's actually run through Diversity because it's existed long before Wilk did. And so when an attorney comes on board, we normally give them some time to adjust and find people that they feel comfortable with and that may have a natural mentorship relationship. And then we ask them for who they would like, and we try to match them up with the right person. And we do ask the question of our female attorneys if they would like. And some don't, but some do want a female partner. And we work to make sure that those are available. And just most recently, we've talked and are working on a sponsorship program as well. And that has not been rolled out yet. So we're still kind of in the brainstorming and creating it phase. But for Wilk's purposes, our mentorship portion of it has really been through the liaison program. It's, for example, I have two little kids, 6 and 2.5. So I have served as a liaison to 2 now, first-time moms going out on leave and helping them with everything from do you get a nanny versus daycare, or how much leave should you take and how would that impact your hours, and how do you tell your clients when you're going out on leave, and everything you can think of. So that's kind of more of the mentorship that Wilk has done is through the liaison program.
You know, it's so funny with women and children, Danielle, because I had a CEO interview I did a couple of weeks ago, and I had the CEO on, and she had a, you know, the son was probably in junior high but needed to be picked up after school. And I remember her sharing with me that she got the best advice ever because she's building an organization, and one of her colleagues said to her, go get someone, go check it out, and get someone to pick up your son and take him home. She goes, that is not a good use of your time. You know, and so for her, it was just that whole stress of she needed to be the parent to do it. And yet what happened was when she actually got somebody else to pick up the kid, and again, it was qualified and it was a good caregiver for her son, you know, to get them, you know, home from school and do their homework. It was magical because she felt more focused in her, you know, business, like she owns a business. And then when she got home, she really committed to that quality time. And it was amazing how just that little piece of it changed her focus and her, and you know, interest and just how she was able to get more done. You know, because it's so funny with women. I mean, personal interweaves and family interweaves with business and our professions. But men, it's not so much. I totally see that every day. Agree?
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And I think that that's where some of the implicit bias can come in for men. With a newer generation, women are not always the caretakers. Oftentimes, it's men who are the primary caretakers now. And for example, there's a situation, I won't divulge, names and specifics, but
right.
where there was a leadership position becoming available within a firm, and the management said, well, gosh, we really want this female partner for this leadership role. She would be amazing, but she is at home, and she's super busy, and I'm sure she'll turn us down. Right. Well, and so what we had to do is kind of change the dialogue and say, you're deciding for her, right? That's paternalistic in a way. You're not, that's your own internal bias. Maybe she has a stay-at-home spouse. You don't know. You have to ask. And it was kind of a light bulb moment where this person thought, wow, you're right. And so they did ask, and she said yes. And it's kind of reframing some of that thinking.
That's really good. I mean, that's a great perspective, because you're right. Never assume, right? But a lot, mm-hmm. I mean, again, both women and men do. But I think this is fascinating. I'm kind of like looking out at the future, because I know for you, you also were recognized at our Women of Influence Awards this last March, right, where we were celebrating Women's History Month, that you are a woman breaking barriers, and you are with this program. So I'm really curious, for you, it's like paint a picture of what the future is like. I mean, what are some of the ideas that, you guys have, kind of brainstormed or you would like to implement or put into place? I mean, I don't want to get into how formal the program is, because I know organizations that are actually forming entities, with their initiatives internally within their organization. So what's the future? Give us a couple of things that you say would be just, boy, if we could do this, this is some of the stuff on our wish list that we want to see Wilk do in the future. Share with our listeners.
Well, first of all, I was extremely honored to be nominated for the award. I certainly hope to, or I aspire and try to be a woman who breaks barriers, and I hope that we all do.
I think you're showing it through deed and through action, which is pretty magical. So take the compliment, Danielle, and say, I am all that.
Well, thanks. It's funny that you say that, because that's one of the things that you read about women is that they have a hard time taking compliments. So maybe
totally.
I can break my own barrier there. In terms of Wilk's future, we just had our partner retreat last month, and we met and discussed that very thing. What are our new priorities? Because we're in this great position where when Wilk was initially established, we had a list of kind of short-term goals and long-term goals. And in a short period, we've accomplished most all of those. And it's really remarkable. It's kind of a testament to the firm and their support. But now we're in a position of crafting new goals. And so what we have decided is that our priority for the year is leadership. We've done a lot on the recruitment and retention side. We've done a lot on the business development side. We want our women in key roles. We want to increase the number of women that we have on our operations committee, on our management committee, and positions of various different positions of leadership. And so we you kind of caught me at a key moment, because, in fact, our next steering committee, we have a 6-member steering committee that meets once a month, and that's next week. And our purpose was, we've all kind of been brainstorming ourselves for the purpose of next week's call, to talk about what are we going to do to advance women into leadership roles this year? How are we going to advance this priority that we've identified? And so I have to be honest that we don't have, hard initiatives other than some of the initiatives we've already kind of targeted and that are working on, but for the future. But that is our priority, is we have a management committee that's made up of 3 wonderful, wonderful gentlemen. But we would like some women on our management committee at the very highest level and trickling all the way down. And so we're going to be looking long and hard at how we achieve that.
I think that sounds exciting. It was funny. I say this all the time, because I've got to go back and find out. There is a TED Talk where this gentleman named Michael something, I know our listeners will know, I'm sure I'm going to get an email on this, that he says, we cannot truly empower women and girls until we fully engage men and boys. And I think it's so true that, you know, sometimes what I've seen is some of these programs that are women's initiatives, they work in a vacuum and they don't engage and bring in, you know, the male perspective. And I think it's extremely critical, you know, to get not only that buy-in, but that advice and some of that, you know, support. And it sounds like you guys are doing that, which is, I think, one of the reasons you got the Champion of Women Award, because I've seen so many companies and organizations try to do it where it's just kind of female circles going at it, and it's like they're in their own little bubble, you know. And I would love for you to share, how are you engaging some of the senior male partners and leaders within Fisher Phillips? Are you just asking them? Are they jumping on the board? Or are you having to kind of do it as a pitch kind of thing and say, here's why, or, you know, pulling in favors? But how are you getting them to engage? Because I think a lot of our listeners who work at organizations would want to know, how do we get the buy-in from the guys? Tell me.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of a little bit of all of that. So I attended this luncheon yesterday as part of that organization I'm on the board of. And it was really great because they talked through some of the statistics. And what amazes me, and you probably know this, Michelle, but when you have at least three women on a board, the company outperforms by 52% other companies.
That crazy. Yes.
That's dramatic. And so part of it is, I think that in the recent years, gender and the advancement of women professionally has been hot. There's a lot of literature. There's a lot of articles out there about it. And so some of it is not what we're doing, but simply the culture now, our men can't ignore it. They can't ignore the statistics and just the sheer business advantage to having a more diverse set of decision makers, right? With diverse decision makers comes diverse thought, and that's healthy for an organization. And so some of it is just natural. It's just the kind of influx of the gender dialogue over the last couple of years. But beyond that, we have I think we have a group of true believers, men in the firm who I say have drank the Kool-Aid. You know, they believe wholeheartedly.
Let them drink it. I love it.
Women. Yeah, and they do, and they participate as some of our ambassadors, and they participate on our forum calls about alternative forms of business development, and they are true advocates. And I think they make a really big difference. And some of them I know have daughters, and that's kind of where their motivation comes from. Yeah. And some of them are just progressive thinkers. And so those internal male advocates are really helpful to furthering the agenda with respect to the others.
And I have to say, you know, Danielle, I think that alone is going to be one big way to, you know, to move the needle forward. But I do love where you brought up, you know, the women on boards that, you know, I have to say just very, you know, I'm not saying very privately to all of our listeners, that is one of the first things I will always go look at is look at the makeup of the board of the organization and go, okay, where's the females? You know, and if I don't see a lot, you know, and I don't see some diversity, I'm like, nope, that's not good, you know. But I think things are changing. And I want to ask you, because we're almost out of time, but I know there might be listeners, you know, throughout the U.S. that might be wanting to know more about your program. And I know you guys are, you know, employment attorneys. So, you know, there's always things that happen in businesses relating to employees and people. How can people reach you if they want to get a hold of you? Can you tell people and our listeners how you want to be contacted if they want to reach you?
Sure, absolutely. We just rolled out new branding, so we have this gorgeous website that's brand new. And everything about me is pretty much on there, at least professionally. My phone number, my direct line is on there, my email address, it's dmoore, D-M-O-O-R-E, at fisherphillips.com. Anybody listening is more than welcome to contact me at any time, and I'm happy to share thoughts or communicate or collaborate about gender or anything.
Great. And one final question, and then I know we are out of time. You know, if somebody out there is one of our listeners and they're thinking, gosh, I work for a company, we don't have any of these initiatives, what might be one or two suggestions that you could share for our listeners if we have a female or even somebody that's just supportive, you know, to see the advancement of women? What would be maybe one or two or three suggestions you would have these people do to kind of start, you know, start the fire, get the, you know, get it ignited, what would you suggest they do, you know, based on what you've experienced?
Yeah, I would do your research so that when your pitch or the conversations that you start having, when you have them, you are based in a fact and research and really think through so that when it you do have the conversation, you're ready for it. And you'll get a lot more play out of it and respect out of it as well. And I also think that depending on the organization, especially one, if it is more conservative and they don't understand the need, you have to be political and careful and strategic and kind of collecting supporters to, you know, help further your cause. Be really thoughtful about who you can use internally to help put you in the position to where when you make that pitch, it's heard.
Really good suggestion. And, too, keep in mind the bottom line because, you know, it's a business, right? You know, this isn't a social club and all of it. I've seen people try to kind of start up some of these women's initiatives and they aren't keeping attention to its profit and loss, you know, dollars and cents, if, you know, resources, time and money, baby. And that's what, you know, you need to look at as well. So that was awesome. I know, Danielle, you are a busy lady. And I want to say to all of our listeners, that's our show for today. And Danielle, thank you for being our leading lady. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Special thanks. You're wonderful. And thank you to all of our listeners. As those of you that listen regularly, we will be back again, not only next Friday, because we're here on Monday mornings at 9, Fridays at 2 p.m., but our next leading lady next Friday, I am happy to announce, is another one of our Women of Influence Award winners. And our leading lady will be Annabella Bonfa, and she is the partner at Wellman & Warren, LLP, and she is a trade secret and business litigation attorney, where we're going to talk about just her journey and how she's coined how to market lawyers. It's an interesting thing from her perspective on the legal industry. What's amazing about Annabella is she's been recognized as a Women's Advocate of the Year and does so many wonderful things to recognize women. So to all of our listeners, have a great weekend. Please take a moment and support another woman. There's a phrase that says kind of lift as you climb or help the next one in line. So have a great weekend. It's beautiful out. It's the summer. And we will see you again on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.